Go to 1 Timothy chapter 6. 1 Timothy chapter 6 tonight. Nothing like being in the house of God. Nothing like being a Christian. Nothing even comes close. For sure, nothing even comes close. So, 1 Timothy chapter 6, if you will, tonight. I'm going to begin reading right there at verse 1. The Bible said, let as many servants. Now, listen closely what the Bible says. Let as many servants as are under the yoke count their own masters worthy of all honor, that the name of God and his doctrine be not blasphemed. And they that have believing masters, let them not despise them, because they are brethren, but rather do them service, because they are faithful and beloved, partakers of the benefit. These things teach and exhort. If any man teach otherwise and consent not to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which is according to godliness, he is proud, knowing nothing, but doting about questions and strifes of words, whereof cometh envy, strife, railings, evil surmisings. Now, I'm going to leave off reading right there. In the time in which the Apostle Paul was writing, okay, and I'll say this once again. I always want to emphasize this. Paul was writing, but it's not Paul's words. Okay? It's what God told Paul to write. And don't ever forget that, all right? Because don't want you to think, well, that was just what Paul thought. No, that's what God told him to write. Okay? Well, in Paul's day in which he was writing to Timothy, slavery was very common. There were a lot of slaves, okay? Now, the problem in our day, when we think slavery, we automatically think race. That wasn't true in that day, okay? It wasn't true in that day. A lot of it was an economical thing. People got into slavery because they got into debt, and they would be enslaved. Some were conquered people. It was a common thing. Slaves would come through conquest in the day of the Roman Empire. This was the day of the Roman Empire. They would conquer people and oftentimes take people slaves, all right, make them slaves. Now, their concept of slavery and the way most people think of slavery is two different things, all right, today. It's not that way. Oftentimes, those slaves did quite well, okay? You remember when Joseph was sold into slavery in the book of Genesis, taken down into Egypt. Slavery was not, it's not he was put up every day and beaten, okay? That didn't happen. As a matter of fact, you read the account of Joseph. Joseph rose to great heights in the house of Potiphar while he was a slave, okay? And slavery was a different kind of thing, all right? So slaves, there were a lot of them. And we read this verse, and a lot of people today not familiar with what's going on, you say, how in the world could they do that? Well, look, the Word of God is often not politically correct, okay? And neither is it popular. But I want you to remember this. Hey, it goes against the thinking and the ideas of men, but it's still the Word of God. It is still the Word of God, and everything in it, there is instruction for us. Now, all of you who are in slavery, raise your hand. Well, none of you are in slavery, are you? Are you a slave today? Now, we get enslaved to sin. We get enslaved by sin. But none of us, nobody sitting here, somebody owns you. Okay? So we're not in that type of slavery. You say, well, there's nothing here for me. But there is. There's application, all right? And I want you to see, if you will, there's some things that are more important than we think they are. There's some things more important than we think they are. The first thing the Apostle Paul, and the application I believe we can make to this is you can honor those that are over you. You can honor those that are over you. In our day, we can apply it to our work situation. You've got a job, you may say, that's what enslaves me. All right? Yeah, I'm enslaved by that boss I have, or that job that I have. Hey, the Bible perspective is, hey, you're to honor those that are over you. That includes the boss. You're to honor that boss. You say, well, they're not a good boss. Honor them anyway. Honor them anyway. Give them honor, okay? Hey, if your boss is a Christian, if your boss is a child of God, man, you ought to thank God for that. What a blessing it is to know it. Don't revile him or despise that boss simply because he happens to have a position over you. Now, you very well could be smarter than your boss. You very well could be smarter than your boss. But they're still the boss. All right? That doesn't change it, okay? That doesn't change it. They're still the boss over you, okay? It's not a matter of how smart you are or how smart they are. They have that position. You owe that boss. You owe your employer an honest day's work, okay? You owe that. So do it. Do it. Do it. Now, we all go to work some days and feeling like, I don't feel like being here. We all have days like that. You say, what do? Well, suck it up and still do a good job. Just suck it up and do a good job, all right? Do you think your mom always felt like taking care of you? Some of you, she probably felt like doing away with you at times, all right? No, mom doesn't always feel like, but aren't you glad mom always did her job? Man, I'm so glad mom always did her job. I'll never forget myself, my brother, and my dad all came down with the mumps the same day. I don't remember now the order. One of us got it in the morning. One got it about midday. The other one in the afternoon. And there's my mom taking care of all of us, okay? As far as I know, she never got the mumps. Thank God she didn't. We'd have been in trouble, all right? Hey, but I'm sure she didn't always feel like doing what she did. Hey, you don't have to feel like doing your job. Just do your job. Amen. Just do your job. It's important. We're to honor those that are over us. We're to respect them. Hey, if your boss is a lost individual, they don't know the Lord as their Savior. There's no Christianity about them. They're constantly cursing and using the Lord's name in vain and all thing, and there's not a sign in the world that they know anything about the Lord, all right? Then you ought to perform your duties just as if they were the best boss in the world. Still ought to do your job. You ought to get the job done. Don't gripe about it. Don't gripe about it. I've had some bosses in times past that were okay, some not so okay. But you say, what'd you do? I just tried to do my job. Tried to do my job. We're to do that. That's what the Bible says. He said, man, if you have believing masters, let them not despise them. They're brethren. Hey, if they're saved, they're your brother, all right, in Christ. But wait a minute. You don't take advantage of that relationship. Don't take advantage of that relationship. Maybe you're working in a company, the boss is saved, and you're a Christian, and there's two or three other people there that work on the job with you, and maybe one of them saved, maybe a couple of them not saved. You ought to never take advantage of the situation that you're saved, your boss is saved. You'll never take advantage of that. What an insult. Hey, what a terrible thing to do. Hey, we're just talking about real practical things, all right? Honor those over you. You said, why? Because it involves your testimony. Because it involves your testimony. Your testimony is so important. Your testimony is so important. You just can't overemphasize how important it is. If you would do the job you should for that boss that's lost without Christ, you might get the opportunity to witness to him. And they'd be more prone to listen to you if you do a good job. Hey, man, it's a good testimony when the believer's the best worker on the job. And you ought to set out to be that. You ought to set out to be the best worker on the job. You're here. You're in school. You ought to set out to be the best student in the class. Amen. You said, now, I'm not the smartest. I didn't say that. I didn't say set out to be the smartest. I said set out to be the best student. You know, the one that actually pays attention?
Yes, sir.
The one that actually doesn't talk back to the teacher?
Amen.
The one that respects that teacher? Hey, listen, in the job situation, in the school situation, the child of God ought to be the best.
Amen.
The best employee, the best student, all the way down the line. It ought to, why? Because that reflects off of your testimony. It reflects well on you as a believer, and it also reflects well on Christianity as a whole.
Amen.
To know, hey, that's it. You're the best. If you talk about gypsies, by the way, I'm not anti-gypsy, so don't think that, all right? But most people do not have a high opinion of gypsies. Because there's a lot, and I'm not accusing all, there's a lot of them have a reputation for kind of shady dealings, taking advantage. How sad that would be if people thought that of God's people. How sad it would be if the persons you work with thought, they take advantage. They take advantage. That's a sad thing. You see, our reputation, our testimony is involved. And here's the reason I say that, all right? Because we're talking about here this servant. Even if you're under the yoke, you count your masters worthy of all honor. You said, why? Because it involves the name of God. Would you look back at verse 1 with me, would you? Would you look back at verse 1? Let as many servants as are under the yoke count their own masters worthy of all honor. Why? That the name of God and His doctrine be not blasphemed. Hey, listen. Your conduct on the job involves God's name. You said, no, I don't see how it could. Well, wait a minute. Wait a minute. Are you a Christian? Are you a Christian? You've been born again. Are you known as a Christian? You're known as a Christian. Where'd that name come from? Well, we bear the name of our God with us everywhere we go. God help us. Surely we're not just Christians inside the walls of this building. It goes with us when we depart. And that name, we carry it everywhere. And we should never be ashamed. Paul lets us know that the name of God is of utmost importance. He said, if you're a slave even, you ought to show your master honor because you don't want to blaspheme the name of God. You and I that are Christians today, now we're not in slavery, but maybe you have a job, you're known. And I hope you're known as a Christian on the job. I hope you can't hide the fact you've been saved.
Amen.
I hope that's not something you can say, well, I'll take this coat off while I'm at work and I'll put it on. No, man, it ought to be with you all the time.
Amen.
All the time. You know, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 52 weeks a year, all the time, you're a child of God. You carry that name with you, all right? You carry that with you. It's more important, that name is more important than the treatment we might get from somebody, be it our boss or be it somebody else. It's more important that we lift up the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we honor Him, than it is you and I get treated right. Hey, well, that person didn't treat me right, so I can do whatever I want to. No, you can't. No, you can't. It reflects on your God. It reflects on your God. You with me? You understand what I'm saying? Hey, here you are. We say, I'm saved. I'm a Christian. Okay, then everywhere we go, we take the name of God with us. And our service on the job should always reflect well on the fact that we name the name of Christ. We name the name of Christ. everything we do. Hey, when you're on the job, it's lunchtime. People ought to see you bow your head and pray and ask God. Thank God for the food. Well, I'm the only one in lunchroom who does it. That's okay. You don't have to stand on the table and say, I'm fixing to pray now. You don't have to do that. But, hey, people ought to see you pray. They ought to see you thank God for your food. They ought to see you bow. It shouldn't be one of those deals. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Not trying to hide it, okay? You ought to be willing to bow your head and pray. Why? Hey, we name the name of Christ, and everything we do ought to reflect well on Him. Hey, God puts a premium on His name. You ever think about it? That's why we're not to use His name in vain. We're not to use His name in vain. It's not just any old name, it's God's name. All right, it's His name. Sometimes I think we seem to forget that the Bible tells us His name is a name that is above every name. Every name. And we're to treat it that way. The believer should respect that name, but we ought to do more. You say, what do you mean? I think we ought to protect that name. Protect that name. I told my kids when they were growing up, hey, you're a Mosley. Mosleys don't act like that. Said, when they do, trouble comes. All right. I did. I tried to teach them that. Why? Because Mosleys are better than everybody else? No. 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 But I want Mosley to be a good name. Don't you want your name to be a good name? I don't want people to hear my name and then they want to spit when they say it, all right? I want it to be a good name. But wait a minute, His name is above every name. We ought to protect it. You said, how are we going to do it? We ought to so live that folks would not blaspheme His name because of us. Because of what we do, all right? What we do. We represent Him. You said, no, preacher. I'm not a preacher, yeah, but you're a Christian. And my Bible says now, then we are ambassadors for Christ. I mean, it says that, okay. Now who? Just special people? No. Every Christian. Every Christian. We represent Him, so that's His name, right? That is His name. You ought not to use His name as a byword. You ought not to something happen and say, oh, Jesus. Wait a minute. Whoa. That's His name. That's His name. If you call His name, you ought to be talking about Him or to Him. All right? You ought to be talking about Him or to Him. Don't use that name cheaply. It's a name that is above every name. Well, wait a minute. Notice that verse doesn't stop there. It doesn't say just the name of God. It says the name of God and His doctrine. Be not blasphemed. Now we live in a time when many folks don't put much of a premium on doctrine. Instead, they often downplay it. You know, you've heard me say, I've heard guys on Christian television say, doctrine divides. Well, it's supposed to. It's supposed to divide, okay? It is supposed to do that. So, yeah, it does, all right? But, man, it's a terrible thing to downplay doctrine. That's wrong. Doctrine is the truth of the Word of God. Why would you not think that was important? Why would you think, well, let's don't emphasize that? We need to emphasize that. We need to emphasize the doctrine of the Word of God. Hey, we're not talking about denominational doctrine. We're talking about Bible doctrine. That's what ought to be emphasized, all right? How in the world could anybody think, well, that's not important? How in the world could you think that? That it's the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's what He said, what He taught. Yeah, that ain't important. Well, are you ignorant about everything or just that one thing, all right? Come on. Very important. But we need to realize this. We need to realize that our actions reflect on our doctrine. Our actions reflect on our doctrine. Look, the doctrine that we hold dear as believers is not something that we just keep in a book or a box or in some special place. No, it is those things that determine our life. It is what we believe. We believe that. We believe that doctrine in the Word of God, all right? And our actions reflect on it. People truly need to see our doctrine in action. And you say, hey, what we believe affects our conduct. I mean, it's what we believe. Hey, I don't try to be kind to people because I just want to win their favor. Try to be kind to people because the Bible said, be ye kind one to another. Not to a certain select few. I've always had fun with kids in our Christian school. It wasn't fun to them, all right? Man, we would have trouble, and there'd be kids get to bickering at each other. Y'all never did that with anybody, I'm sure, when you were young. Nah, we never do that. And you don't ever do it now either, right? I hope not, okay? But kids, they would get to bickering at one another, you know? And I mean, I'd get one or two of them in the office. They would be, you know, knocking heads. And I'd say, all right, go ahead, you talk. And this one's telling the side story, and this tried to butt in. I said, you be quiet. You're going to get your chance. So I let them talk. And then it's okay, it's your turn. Go ahead. And I just sit there and listen. And oftentimes they'd mention another student in school. I'd say, go get them. So they'd go get that student. Sometimes I'd have 8 or 10 kids standing in front of my desk in school by the time it's all done. I just want to be honest with you. One of my favorite things to do, they have been running one another down. They've been saying all manner of things against each other. And I would take my Bible and say, hey, show me in there where it says, okay, what you're doing. Just show me, all right? Here it is. You say you believe this, all right? Show me that what you're doing is okay. Show me where it says it. You never seen kid. The floor suddenly became very appealing, all right? They were looking at it. But can I say this to you? Is that not true for us too? Our actions should reflect what we believe. I mean, everything we believe, it's borne out. We live it. It's not just something we believe and talk about when we're in this building. No, it's what we believe in, and affects our actions to other. Our doctrine ought to come out in our lives. It ought to be on display all the time. All the time it ought to be there. When, hey, I don't know if you know it or not, but when people know that you're a Christian, they judge Christianity by you. They judge Christianity by you. They don't know anything else about Christianity. They judge Christianity by you. Well, that's what Christianity is. Hey, they judge First Baptist Church, Haltom City, by you. Where do you go to church? Okay, ain't never going there. Man, them people. Wait a minute, they judge. Well, they shouldn't do that. Doesn't matter what they should or not, they do it, okay? They do it. People judge Christianity by Christians. By Christians and what they do. That means they judge the doctrines of Christianity by what they see in the believer. And they say, man, if you give them cause to reject you, then they can and will also reject the doctrine. And by the way, that means they reject the gospel. They reject the gospel. Why? Because of you. What a sad thing. Now, I've heard, I do not know this, but I've heard this a lot of times. Maybe you have too. I've heard that Mahatma Gandhi made the statement. He said, you know, if it hadn't been for Christians, I would have been a Christian. What did he do? Well, he judged Christianity by Christians. Judged Christianity by Christians. The world still does that, all right? That's why it's so important. That's why it's so important that in our life, hey, whether it's at work, you know, whatever the situation is, that we take our life and put on display what we believe. And we let it affect us. We let it change us. We let the world see us. All right? And what we do, it reflects on his name. It reflects on his doctrine. Hey, and notice how Paul put it here in verse 3. He said, if any man teach otherwise and consent not to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which is according to godliness, Paul said it's all one thing. It's the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's wholesome words, all right? It's doctrine that is according to godliness. What are you saying, preacher? I'm saying this. Our life ought to reflect God. And people ought to see a certain amount of godliness in us. Now, I recognize we're just flesh. I recognize that. And I know the Bible says, in my flesh dwelleth no good thing. But that is not of a justification for us not to try. It is not a justification to say, well, oh, well, I know in my flesh dwells no good thing, so no big deal. It is a big deal. It is a big deal. And we need to realize it, all right? To this point, the Bible tells us, if you teach otherwise, you're proud and know nothing. Now, don't get mad at me. I didn't say that. The Bible says it, okay? The Bible says that. If you don't teach that, you don't live that, you're proud. You know nothing, all right? You know nothing. Ignorant. Now, we ought not to be that way, okay? So what's the challenge? Here's the challenge, you and I as God's people. The challenge for us is to live up to the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're going to live up to that name. Call me a Christian, I'm going to try to live up to that name. Hey, I'm going to let you know that what I believe changes the way I act. Changes what I do. Changes the way I treat people. Changes the way I treat people. I just want to be honest with you. I got mad yesterday. I got real mad. I was mad at individuals. I was mad at government agencies. He said, what happened, preacher? Well, I was trying to get a driver's license renewed. And I didn't realize they'd changed all the rules. Nobody told me. When I go down and talk to people at the license place, they're rude. I mean, this lady was just rude, you know. She, you got to do this. I said, I tried that. Didn't work. You got to do it. Finally, a guy in line behind me says, hey, here's what you got to do. I thought, you know that. You work here. Why didn't you tell me? Why didn't you tell me? So I did it the day I went back and jumped through the hoops and got my license renewed, and I sat there with the lady that helped me and, you know, filled out the paper and all that stuff, and I said, hey, you know, lady, I didn't castigate her. It wasn't her fault. I said, yesterday I came in here and people were rude and everything, and she apologized for that, and I said, I just want you to know I appreciate your kindness in helping me. Now, if I'd have wanted to, I could have been mad all day. I could have went in there and ranted and raved. In my flesh, I wanted to. I know y'all are perfect. I'm not. I still like to throw a fit every now and then. I thought I could get away with it, okay? And I was by myself, so nobody else would have seen it. But hey, somebody would have seen it. Somebody would have seen it. You understand where I'm coming from here from the Word of God? He said, preacher, we're not slaves. This doesn't apply to us. Yes, it does. Yes, it does. Hey, I am a slave. I'm a bond slave for the Lord Jesus Christ. I belong to Him. I belong to Him. I can't take His name and cause people to blaspheme it. And you can't either. I can't take that doctrine and cause people to blaspheme it. And cause people, by my actions, cause people to come along and say, well, man, if that guy believes that, I don't want anything to do with what he believes. I don't want that kind of attitude, man. I don't want that. Can I say this in closing? The Word of God's important. It's important. The name of God is important. It's important. The doctrine of God is important. Now, let me just put it right where we live. It's more important than our comfort. It's more important than our satisfaction. It's more important than our desires and wants. It's more important than our happiness. And we're to live to showcase those things. We're to live to showcase that. Hey, here's the truth. Here's the truth. I ask you tonight, have you been born again? Have you been born again? How can we tell it? By looking at your life. How can we tell it? Can we see it? Can other folks see that? Can other folks look and say, man, there's something different about that person? And now they may not know what it is. We don't go around with the word Christian stamped in our forehead. But people ought to see that difference. Hey, when you and I get mad, we ought to react differently. We ought to react differently. Ought to be a difference. When we're irritated and agitated and all of that, there ought to be a difference. Be a difference. And that's up to you and me. Me. Hey, where's the difference? Heavenly Father, would you help us tonight? Help us see the truth of the Word of God. And Lord, help us to be people that realize Bible's talking to us. It is talking to us. It's got a message for us. Lord, if we've never trusted Christ as our Savior, Lord, the best time in the world to do that's now. This is the best time. Lord, I pray if there's anybody here never trusted you, they'd come. We're going to have an invitation time, sing invitation hymn. Lord, would you give them the courage to step out and come down, meet me here at the front, take my hand and say, preacher, I just want to trust Christ. Well, Lord, if there's Christians here and we've not lived up to our name, would you deal with us? Would you help us, Lord, to come, kneel here at these steps, one of these front pews, and do business with you? Let you do a work in our heart and our life. Lord, if we've not lived the doctrine that we believe, would you help us to do it? Help us to change that. Lord, use invitation time tonight for our good and our benefit. In your name I pray.